There is nothing cooler than to hear one of these amazing young people praying and asking the Lord to bless them, everyone around the world. It's powerful. I'll tell you, last week, Jill and I were up in Denver celebrating our son's graduation from high school with our family. And just gotta take a moment as a proud papa, okay? He was jamming up there today. He's good. So I just am so excited for what God has in store for him and for all of our young people. I gotta say though that while we were up in Denver, we went to a church up there, and during worship, they're singing the blessing, you know, and talking about blessing the families and blessing their children and blessing their children's children and all this stuff. And while they're singing and while we're worshiping with that song, up comes pictures of children in Afghanistan. And in the midst of that, I break down. I mean, I'm like, I'm done. I can't keep singing. I love to sing. I love to worship. And in the moment where those pictures are up there, I'm literally just getting my shirt all wet because I am grieving what is happening on the other side of the world where these young ladies have been given a chance to have an education, where boys and girls are able to walk freely and not be in fear for their lives, where people are were not terrorized for so long and now are in a place where there's a lot of death, there's a lot of persecution. And I just want to say that we have missionaries that are over there in Afghanistan or on the border right now getting people out. So you can look on our wall in our lobby, and you can see those missionaries from YWAM, other missionaries that we have, and just be praying for them as they are doing some amazing things, getting fellow believers, fellow missionaries out. What's also amazing is that there are missionaries, that there are people saying, we will not go, we will continue to stay, and we will continue to bring forth the gospel. We will bring forth Jesus' message and hope to these people because there is such a great need. So would you just be praying for them? Would you just be lifting them up? And don't forget that there are people that we support in this place, locally. We're supporting them doing a global work for the kingdom of God over in the roughest, hardest places where they are literally killing people because of their faith. So, actually, pray, but can we just pray for them too? I'd like to do that, okay? So let's do that. Lord, I just want to lift up these people right now that are serving you faithfully, boldly, and without reservation over in Afghanistan and the surrounding area in the Middle East, where there is such persecution and such hardship. Lord, I pray that you would continue to protect them. Lord, that you would give them a loud voice that will share, that will broadcast around the villages and around the country, that they will experience the true love of Christ, those people that hear these words. And Lord, I pray that those that would try to kill, steal, and destroy would be dumbfounded by what you are doing for the kingdom of God. So Lord, we just pray for your protection. We pray for your hand of mercy on those people. And Lord, may you guide each of their steps as they are walking in true faith every step with you. We love you, Lord, and we just lift them up in your name. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ah, well, as we move forward, we will continue to pray for them over in Afghanistan and continue to pray for the people that are dealing with hurricanes and earthquakes, and there's a lot of stuff going on around our world, isn't there? So we'll just keep praying. And I want to just say that for us today, as we're praying, it is a part of an amazing ability that we have to be able to lift up these people together in solidarity, right? As a body of believers, we can come forward and we can pray. I want to just give a shout out to Nick, who preached it last week, you know, the win-win, bringing people up here and having a good time, getting people to do stuff, and just bringing forth a message on teamwork. We're going to continue with that idea of teamwork today. It is a core value. We are in the midst of talking about our core values as a church, And we've talked about love, we've talked about community, you know, we've talked about generosity. We're going to talk about teamwork today, and I'm going to continue this discussion on teamwork. And I want to just tell you, if you don't know, I was a former baseball player in high school. After high school, I didn't play anymore. They didn't offer it at Fort Lewis. But I've continued to play the game of softball as an adult. I still love to play team sports. In middle school, I played football. I played basketball. I used to play soccer a long time ago. I just didn't like the running. That's why I played baseball. It was what the sport continued. Anyway, I love team sports. There's something about playing on a team sport that just it just fills me. And I'm really excited to talk about teamwork today, because in the context of working as a team, working in team sports, each different part of the team has an individual task that they have to perform. And in baseball, it's no different. You've got your outfielders, your infielders, your pitcher, your catcher, and all of these different positions are needed, because if one is missing, the team is not going to function correctly. Same thing is true with football. For those of you that are football players, you understand this. Or volleyball, softball. I mean, I got to give a little shout out to my softball team, the Plaid Short Mafia. They did take their rec division championship. So I wasn't there, but I still am like, good job, guys. Way to go. They did a good job. So John, Jerome, well done, guys, and the other guys that are on the team that are here. It's a great, great team. It was at first a River Church team, and slowly it has kind of merged into more of a community team, and we just have a great time together. Sean is a part of that too. And so anyway, we got a great bunch of guys that play on that team. And it's so fun to hang out together, not only to be a part of the team on the field, but then to be a part of the team in the dugout, to laugh together, offense, defense, doing all of this stuff together as a team. There's something important about doing this together. And if one part of that team is not there, like I was, I missed out. I missed out on the glory of the team win, and I was bummed about that. I had to celebrate on my phone and Facebook. I'm like, ooh, we win. You know, I didn't even get the T-shirt. Thanks, Jerome. But no, it's not helpful. I don't care. But I want to talk about teamwork today, and I want to talk about aspects of working as a team, of doing church as a team, because this is a core value, that if we are not doing this as a body, I'll be kind of going back and forth with saying body or teamwork together, kind of going back and forth with that, but if we're not doing this together, why are we doing this at all? All right? So we're going to have some fun with this morning, but I want to just pray for us as we get into this message, so let me just pray really quick. Lord, I thank you for this value of teamwork that you have in your word. Now, I know you don't use the word teamwork, but Lord, you use body. You use unity. Lord, may you today inspire us to walk in this way, to not do this relationship thing with you by ourselves, to not do church in isolation, but may we begin to see the value of doing church together in unity as a team, as one body. We praise you, God, for this morning, and we just lift this up in your name. Amen. Amen. So there's a few different things that I want to hit on today that talk about this idea of teamwork. And the first thing that I want to hit on with teamwork this morning is that teamwork is about unity, not uniformity. And I want to just kind of hit this for a second by reading this verse to you, Psalm 133, verse 1. Now, I'm going to do the whole psalm here. There's only three verses to this psalm. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but I want to start with this one. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. All right? We're just going to hit that first bit, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. This is a very important thing. At the moment that this was written, they don't know exactly when it was, but David penned these words, and he wrote this, and they think that it might have been a time when the Israelites were together, when he was being crowned king over all of Israel. And so he is saying, this is amazing, that all the tribes of Israel are united. Everybody is together, and this is such a good thing. I want to just hit this idea of unity for a minute. Unity is a situation where people join together or agree. It's a state of being complete with all parts connected. All right? All parts. There's an interesting thought with this, because the difference is with unity versus uniformity is that uniformity is basically all things are the same, the quality or fact of being the same, or of not changing or being different in any way. So with unity, we're all doing our own part, individually working in one direction to accomplish a goal. But with uniformity, that's like a franchise. Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, Joe's. You want to make sure that those coffees are made precisely the same in every single store. You want to make sure that that Big Mac is the same at every single store. That's uniformity, all right? But with unity, we're all doing this together, our own each unique part, working together to accomplish a goal. And so with the church, that's no different, right? We talk about a body. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. One body, many parts. We can't all do the same thing, right? We can't all be Kim up here leading worship. It may sound cool, but we're all just singing. There's a whole lot more to do in the body of Christ. We can't all do the same thing. God did not design us to be a franchise like that. God did not design us to be a bunch of Big Macs. Praise the Lord. All right? He designed us each unique and amazing and as a part of a body. And speaking of a body, I want to just share this idea with you and go a little bit further with this in mind. Do you know there are 11 systems in the human body? I'm going to read them off to you because I kind of nerded out on this for a minute. And I'm not a science person. I failed biology the first time I did it in college. All right, I had to take it twice, and then the second time I got a D. So, but I passed. So, I went back and I Googled this and I found this out. So listen to this, okay? So for all of you people that are in the medical field, give me grace this morning. All right, but listen to this. There are 11 systems in the human body: muscular, respiratory, digestive, skin. It's a big word. I'm not going to say it. Skeletal, circulatory, or cardiovascular system, excretory, reproductive, nervous, lymphatic, and endocrine systems. All of these are systems. And all of these systems have organs that work within these systems in order for the body to work. So if one part of the body, if one organ, if one system is not working, the whole body will start to not work. There is dis-ease when it comes to this. There is a disunity when the body is broken, when something is not working. To take it another way, if you're not into the mode of the body and you're like, boo, like it was with me, think of the body as a building. A building has plumbing systems, heating systems, cooling systems, electrical systems, support systems. And if any system in a building breaks down, other systems can be affected. Other systems won't work. If you bust a pipe in your house, the structure of your house might be an issue. And the electrical systems, you don't want to go downstairs. Things are broken. And they don't work properly. When the body is broken, we all are a part of this body. We all have specific and very unique abilities that the Lord wants to use, and the Lord has placed in this house to do great and mighty things. I want to say this, that when I was a kid, just talking about the body and how when it's broken, it doesn't work right. So when I was a kid, I lived up in the mountains near Boulder, and we had just this amazing neighborhood where the roads were paved, but it was all very hilly. And so at the top of our neighborhood was this big cul-de-sac, and it had this amazing hill that went down. It was great in the wintertime to go use runner sleds down this thing. You could go so fast. All right? And in the summertime, we would take our Huffy BMX bikes. We would go down this hill really fast at the bottom of the hill. There was a great dirt hill at the bottom, so you could just kind of slow down. You could ride it back up and then turn around, and you could do all sorts of cool stuff. So one time, my friends and I had decided, wouldn't it be cool if? Now, if you ever hear those words come out of the mouth of an 8-year-old, pay attention. Okay? You might want to look over and say, wait, what were you saying? Because for boys especially, that is a very adventurous time in life as an 8-year-old. And so when you are a boy saying at 8 years old, wouldn't it be cool if, get ready. So we had big wheels, you know, back in the day. 8-year-olds, big wheels, you know. They had the big wheel in the front. If you had a really cool one, you had like a brake on the side so you could spin out, which was really pretty awesome. On the back of it, there were 6 holes, and the holes were used for a backrest if you needed it. You know, depending on how big or short you were, you could have that backrest. I didn't need a backrest. That was whatever. So anyway, took the backrest off, and we had decided, we were talking, my friends and I, and we were like, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if we rode our big wheels down this hill and see how fast we can get them going? And so in that, I'm not going to be just sitting on the big wheel. No, I'm standing on the thing, you know, because why not? And so I'm riding it like this, okay, as any 8-year-old kid would do, excited to go down a hill. I'm standing there like this, and I push off, and I start riding down the hill on the big wheel. Now, the thing is that when you are in this awkward position over handlebars, riding down on a big wheel, all of a sudden, this thing does not have brakes on it, right? So we're just picking up speed, going faster and faster. All of a sudden, I'm too fast. So I jump off. And as I jump off, I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm a fast 8-year-old, so I can run. So I'm running, and I realize that as I take 3 steps, I don't have the speed in order to really keep this thing going. But as I have seen on Knight Rider or G.I. Joe, all I have to do is do a frontward roll and ninja myself back onto my feet where I'll be okay. So I decide at that point to go into a tuck and roll position. And so because I can't maintain the speed, I tuck and I roll and I land flat on my back. At this moment, I knock the wind out of myself, and I'm like, I can't breathe. And as I can't breathe, I try to lift myself up. As I try to lift myself up, I am in tremendous pain. My body hurts. My legs are okay, but my upper body, it's like when I try to sit up, I'm trying to, it hurts. And I can't move. I don't want to move because it doesn't feel right. My body is in pain, and I don't want to do anything because I don't want to feel any more pain, all right? My brother comes over, 6 years old.
Mark, you okay?
No, idiot, get mom. So, as brothers do, right? Thanks for your compassion, bro. Go get mom. So he goes and gets her. Another neighbor's mom comes up. You know, we work it out. My mom comes, takes me to the emergency room. Come to find out, I'd broken my collarbone. It's amazing when you break something like a collarbone, how it affects all of your body. You can't move. Daniel here broke his neck. I'm sure it's the same feeling, right? I mean, you know, you're like, yeah, I can't move. I praise God that you can do this and move. An injury like that is debilitating. An injury like that is really frustrating. And like the body, when it is in pain, it's not going to move. With all of us, when there is somebody that is in pain, or there is somebody that is in disunity, when there is a brokenness amongst the body, it does not function as God intended. Today, I want us to understand that we need to come together in unity, building up this body, coming together with a like-minded goal, using our abilities, our gifts, our tools, how we've been equipped, and we can do this together as one team. The second thing that I want to hit on today is that through teamwork, we can do more. One person can do great things. Don't get me wrong. One person can do amazing things. But when you start to think about those people that are acknowledged, that have won awards, that have won MVPs, the thing is that they didn't quite get to that place unless they had a team behind them to support them in that place, right? We all need a team. In Genesis 11:6, hear this now. It says this, Jesus, or God is talking, and it says, look, he said, the people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Now, really cool verse. The story and the context is really jacked up. So hear this, okay? The context of the story is, in this time, all the people are speaking the same language, and they're building this tower to heaven, the Tower of Babel, right? And so they're building this tower to Babel. God recognizes this, God sees this, and says, no, this can't happen. This isn't right. And he says, we need to break this apart. So he puts other languages in the mix at this moment, okay, when it talks about this in Genesis. What I want to say, though, to this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. The people are united. Hear these words today. Even though in that context, in that story, there's some really messed up things going on, they are not looking to the Lord. But what if, can you imagine a group of people united for the kingdom of God, seeking Christ with all things? Nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. You grasp that? We can do more together. We can do more together. God, I really believe this, never intended for one man to run everything. All right? It was never intended for a senior pastor to run every ministry of a church. It was never intended for a staff to run every ministry of a church. It was always intended for a body to have teamwork, to make that dream work. I know, it's cliche. But the body is the body for a reason. The body is the body for a reason. One man can't do it all. Not even great men like Moses can do it all. I want to read to you from Numbers 11, 16 through 17. It says this, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meetings that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is in you, that is on you, and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. When we can do this together, we can do more. I don't know if you've ever heard of this principle in churches. There's the 20-80 principle, 20% and 80% principle. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Have you ever heard this? Yeah. You know, in a scenario like this here, I'm guessing that we probably have about 150, we'll just say 200 for easy math. You know, that means that in this 20-80%, that means that, you know, 40 people are doing the work for the entire church out of this 200, right? Well, the reality is that right now, you know, counting all of the people here that we're doing stuff, we're probably, instead of the 40 people, we're probably at about 20. So that means the principle is now 10 and 90%, right? 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. There's something that's not right about this. Does a team become successful by competing at this level? No. That's kind of a rhetorical question. It's like a duh. No, of course not. You can't just have a quarterback, a center, and a wide receiver playing football against an entire 11-people defense. It's not going to work. It's not going to be effective. The enemy is going to come, and he's going to wipe out all of those people. and he's going to burn them out, and he's going to make them tired, and he's going to make them frustrated, and every single one of them are going to come to a place of hating serving, but they love church so much that they're going to just keep on pushing themselves to the point of exhaustion because nobody else is stepping up. I'm sorry that this sounds kind of brutal, guys, but it's the truth. You've got to know that a body that is not fully functioning is in disease. We need to function together. This is a big deal. This is a core value of who we are, that we will accomplish more together than individually. And here's the deal. The strategy of hell is to divide and isolate. So what is happening right now in our world? There is a dividing and an isolating that is taking place amongst believers. How unfortunate. How unfortunate to hear the struggle between this political party and that political party, between this issue and that issue. And you can pick them all. And you can see that any and every single one of them are divisive. Interesting. And it's creating more and more division and more frustration and more isolation in the body of Christ. When the Lord's intention is for us to be together, to be united. When David was king of Israel, they accomplished great and mighty things together. They conquered. They advanced. They moved forward. Can you imagine a united body, a church, working together as a team, going forward in this community, bringing forth the love of God and making an impact. Rather than being influenced by the culture, they are the ones influencing culture. Whoo! I love it. I love it. Together we can do more. Together we are better. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this, two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, these verses are used a lot in weddings, talking about, you know, the three cord, husband and wife, and then God is wrapped together in the three. This truly talks about, though, that the more we are together, the more we are united, the stronger we will be, the more we can do together, we can do great things. So I just want to encourage you with that. Let us not be isolated. Let us not be apart. If we're frustrated with one another, let's come together and deal with those things, and let's figure it out. And I know that I'm not the best at that. There are times that I struggle with confrontation, but hear me. I recognize and am seeing more and more the value of coming together, the value of teamwork, of knowing that not any one of us can do it all ourselves, but that we have to do it together. And in that together, we need to trust that the other person is equipped and knowing, and we just got to say, I believe you. You've got this. Go for it. And I'm not saying just, you know, Willie, whatever. But we do this as a team, like-minded, individual goal going forward. It's a big deal. The third aspect of teamwork that I want to talk about today is that through teamwork, the Lord gives blessing. Yeah. Through teamwork, the Lord gives blessing. Let's go back to Psalm 133. I'm going to read the whole thing. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as free, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. I read that, you read that, and you're going, what? That does not make any sense. Beards and oil and dew. Mountain Dew, baby. So here it is. Let me just explain this to you, all right? There's two aspects that David is talking about here. Two things, two principles that are very important as he is writing this. Now, as I said before, the context possibly is that he is writing this, penning these verses as he is being crowned king of Israel. Okay? And so he's thinking about this, and there are two things that are going on here. There's the physical blessing, the physical life from Mount Hermon. Now, what happens is that Mount Hermon, most of the year, is covered with snow. All right? This is where the valley in Canaan gets its water from. Okay? And even in the dry seasons, if you were to camp up on Mount Hermon, you would actually get your tent would be wet in the morning because the dew just gets so, there's so much condensation in the air that there is so much dew that comes. So all year long, there is just water flowing off of Mount Hermon. So it is making the ground fertile. It is bringing physical life. All right? Now, Aaron, another weird thing, another weird verse in this, but what David is talking about is that Aaron was anointed with the oil as the chief priest. He was the one that would go before God in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. He would be the one that would intercede, would do the sacrifices for the people. And so there's a spiritual aspect of life that he is going forward as he is bringing forth this stuff. So he's saying, what David is saying is, he's going, when we are in unity, there is spiritual and physical life that is taking place here. There is a greatness that we are experiencing together, that God is pouring out his blessing, his life, his fullness into all of our lives as we are coming together as a body. God is pouring out this blessing of life going, it is good. It is good. Do this together. I think about this, that when we talk about this idea of doing church as a team, there might be an individual that you know, that you're like, hey, just come to church sometime. They come to church with you, and they come to church a few weeks, and you know they're excited about it, and then you know they want to know more, they're interested about stuff, and so you're like, well, hey, why don't you come to the life group that I'm involved in? And so they come to the life group where there's a few more people that are talking to them and just kind of pouring into their life and sharing about God and the community that's built in these life groups that they're just so awesome, where there's just this life that is coming forward from this place to where this individual that you invited to the life group is like, man, this is so interesting. I want to know more about all this stuff from the people that I'm experiencing, the people that I'm meeting here. There's just some stuff. So you're like, well, hey, you know, there's a Sunday school class you can come to. So they go to the Sunday school class, and more, they're digging into the Bible there, and they're talking about prayer, and they're talking about all of these the stuff about just emotionally healthy spirituality and just digging into the Word and these great principles there. And this person is just really hungry for all of these things just because of all these different individuals that are talking to them. And so you go, you know, you sense in this moment, you're like, hey, I just kind of feel that are you at a point in your life where you want to give your life to the Lord? And the person's like, you know, I think that it's time. I'm ready to do this. And so you pray with them to receive Jesus and start that relationship. I will tell you, there is no greater feeling in the world, no bigger rush, no bigger emotional moment than when you are praying with somebody to give their lives to Jesus. Because the old is gone, the new has come. They were once was dead, are now alive. There is a spiritual birthing that is taking place in them at that moment. And you're just going, ooh, here we go. It fires you up so much. And so then you got to pray with this person. And so now you're going, okay, now I don't know all the answers for where you're at right now, but I know that we've got to do some other things. And so you start talking to your pastor. You call him up. You go, hey, man, Joe just gave his life to Jesus. what do I do next? You know, we start walking through this process, saying, well, hey, let's go read a book and the gospel, and let's pray together, and let's just dig into the word. And, you know, you've already gotten going to Sunday school, all these things. There's all these different areas of discipleship that are happening with this person. They're learning to sing. They're learning to read their Bible. They're learning all of these different things. It is a process that it doesn't just happen with one person. It happens with a multiple group of people that are speaking in to the individual's life. Now, when one person hits a home run, that one person gets a pat on the back, but the score, the run, benefits the entire team. When a running back or receiver catches the ball in the end zone, that person gets a little bit of glory, but the benefit is for the entire team. Are you hearing this? When one person gets prayed for and receives Jesus, that moment is special for that individual that got to pray with that person. But to the kingdom of God, it is not just one person celebrating. It says in the scripture that the heavenly hosts rejoice when one person comes into the kingdom of God. Whoo! This gets you fired up? I hope it gets you fired up. I want us to understand this idea that together we can do great things. Together as a team, we can change this community. I really believe this. God and the Holy Spirit moves before us. We can do this. So how are we doing this stuff as a team at TRC? I want to invite the worship team to come back up as I kind of read through these things. We do it together. We don't do this as individuals. The whole band makes up the sound. Not just one part makes up the sound in here. And there are guys in the back who are working these dials, who are using their ears, and they're going, okay, I want to make sure that this sounds right so that it's not distracting. And there's people that are running the words up there. And not only are they running them on Sundays, but they're coming in the middle of the week to type them all in. Okay? It takes an army of leaders to serve and to teach our young people. I say army because, man, they are fierce. They do great and mighty things. And when you go to your kid at the end of Sunday morning and you go, what did you learn? And they say, I learned about Daniel in the lion's den. What about Daniel in the lion's den? That God protects us? Woo. I'll tell you what. Those people all deserve medals. And I know that there are others that are sitting on the sidelines right now, and you're all being called in to play in that army. Maybe you haven't been invited yet, but you hear me? You're invited. Nick and I make up a talking team right now. Neither of us can speak all the time. Not one of us. And I feel that we're better because we both share. And we speak this truth. The coffee, the greeters, the tech, live stream, they require no less than three people each to effectively run their ministry. The security, same thing. Each of them require no less than three people to effectively run their ministry. And it's interesting, I'm going to go back for a second. The enemy tries to isolate and separate. Why? He doesn't want to see this go forward because he knows that we are better together. That is the power of we. Soon we're going to get classes going in here. Sunday mornings, 8:30, in 2 weeks, we're going to have a Sunday school class, an adult Sunday school class. It's going to get started, where we are going to equip and empower and reach and dig into the Word and see how we can apply it to a greater degree in our lives. And I'm really excited about how this is going to go forward. And then from there, continuing in the fall, we are going to continue to put together life groups. If you are interested in life groups, let me just encourage you to talk to Nick or to go to the Connect Corner, fill out a Connect card and say, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. I want to do this. We want to know that you're interested in this stuff. And as we do all of this together in unity, hear this. There will be a blessing from the Lord. It is good. It is good when God's people live together in unity. So, maybe we were never meant to do this Christ-following thing alone. Maybe God designed, even created all of this and created us with our unique qualities to build his church. Again, church is not a place, it's a people. And we were created to do this church together as a team, one body, unified, going forward. Let's stand.